Good morning and welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health. This is where we highlight the groundbreaking work that's being done at JFK University Medical Center in Edison. It's part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. And this week we're joined by Dr. Vanessa Milano, stereotactic and functional neurosurgeon at JFK University Medical Center. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning and thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
That is difficult to say, stereotactic and functional neurosurgeon.
Yeah, it's a requirement to complete the fellowship.
Yes, I would think so. If you can't pronounce it, you can't do it. So let's talk about, what we want to talk about today is a focused ultrasound or high intensity focused ultrasound. So let's start there because this is something you use on a daily, on a regular basis. What is that? Let's start with that, with the focused ultrasound.
Mm-hmm. So for in neurosurgery, to put it really briefly, high intensity focused ultrasound is a way to reach inside the brain to make a small change to it without actually opening it up. And I do have to specify that we're talking about high intensity ultrasound here because low intensity focused ultrasound does also exist, but it works in a very different way. So we're going to be talking about the high intensity focused ultrasound.
Is this the same type that we use for pregnancy?
So it is the same ultrasound, but I mean, ultrasound as a technology is so versatile. It can be shaped into anything from a tickle to a sledgehammer by modifying the intensity, the frequency, duration, and shape of the sound waves. So it has very broad applications across medicine, but we're just focusing on the high-intensity focused ultrasound.
Right, the high-intensity focus, which you use as a neurosurgeon. So let's start there. What is it used for?
So in neurosurgery, HIFU is being used to treat essential tremor. And what is a tremor? All of you listening at home, you can see a little bit of tremor by drawing a spiral on a piece of paper or a tablet. You may even need to challenge yourself by not resting your hand or arm on the table. And those little oscillations you see, that's tremor. And we all have a degree of normal tremor, which you might notice more if you just had a cup of coffee or didn't get much sleep. But in essential tremor, an abnormal circuit deep inside the brain causes people to have an amount of tremor so significant that it interferes with their job, their social life, eating, and even getting dressed. And with HIFU, we can make a hole, or we call a lesion, the size of a grain of rice in that circuit to keep it under control. And you can think of it in very much the same way as focusing beams of light with a magnifying glass. Except that instead of focusing light, we're focusing the sound waves.
Okay. For this interview purposes, HIFU is the high-intensity focused ultrasound. So when we can say HIFU, we know what we're talking about. When talking about the brain, and you mentioned you can reach inside the brain, if I'm quoting you right, without opening it up.
Yeah. So for essential tremor, I'll use that as an example because that's my primary focus with focused ultrasound. 50 to 60 years ago, in order to have essential tremor treated surgically, you might have to have part of your brain removed. And then gradually technology got better to the point where we're just inserting small probes into the brain and burning a hole inside those deep structures. And then we kind of came into what was called neuromodulation, which is deep brain stimulation, putting electrodes into the brain. And applying electricity. So in focused ultrasound, now we have a non-invasive way to do basically the same thing that those other technologies have done for patients in the past. But now it's more convenient than ever. It's safer than ever. And your patients really, really like it.
So this is really cutting edge because in the past, as you said, you had to brain surgery, cut open the head to get to the brain. Now you don't need to do that at all.
Yeah. I mean, focused ultrasound as a concept is not new. It has a long history of being used for things like prostate cancer or breast cancer, kidney stones. But until recently, we haven't been able to use it inside the brain because of the brain's hard candy coating. The skull. But now we have the ability to focus the sound waves in such a way as to get around the skull and treat inside the brain.
So the HIFU has been around, but it hasn't been improved to the level where you could use it for what you do.
Correct.
Okay. So it's always been there, but it's gotten better. So when did this happen? When did this eureka moment happen?
So it was FDA approved for essential tremor in 2016. So that's when it was first coming into the clinical landscape rather than just being used in research.
And what's the difference there? I mean, what's changed within the technology? It's stronger? I mean, what makes it work now that it didn't work before?
It's all in the way that those sound waves are focused. We use what's called a transducer that focuses up to 1,000 sound wave beams. And within the transducer, your head is located, and your head is kind of surrounded by water that helps keep the temperature from getting too out of hand and controlling the heating. And we didn't have this sort of technology until relatively recently. So the focused ultrasound we've had, but we haven't had the technology to get around the skull until more recently.
How long have you been using it? I know you said 2016 is when it was approved, but how long has it been? Mm-hmm. Is this like an everyday thing now? It's...
I've been using it since 2020.
Okay.
It's the essential tremor, we started treating only on one side initially, mm-hmm. but then we noticed that patients did so well that we asked ourselves, well, what if we treat the second side? Because a lot of patients, while their tremor is worse on one side, they do have it on both sides. And so then we started treating patients on both sides of the brain. That was a real game changer a couple of years ago. So it's something that's continuously evolving.
Well, while we're talking here, I'm drawing spirals on the paper with my pen, like you said, and I can't seem to feel a tremor. Would I feel it? You said everybody has them.
It's like a little oscillation in most people. Maybe you should drink a Red Bull and get back to that.
Okay. So I see. But you get shaky. You get shaky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, if you were to follow like a computer-generated spiral exactly, you'd be off a little bit in certain places. Mm-hmm. But you don't get penalized for coloring outside the lines. that much.
but this is used for those who have severe tremors. And what is at what level, I guess you call it essential tremor, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
At what point do you realize that this surgery, it seems just so simple. Is this an outpatient thing?
It is outpatient. So patients really like that they can come in the morning and then leave the same day. And we see results immediately. This is in contrast to other older forms of non-invasive lesioning like radiation. And patients are very happy with it. Now, we know that not everyone responds equally or for as long. I've definitely had patients that a few weeks later, a few months later, the tremor comes back. And we have to pivot to one of these other procedures that we've done in the past. But we have data now that shows that 3/4 of patients will continue to have good control over the tremor after 5 years. So it's really quite substantial and durable.
Yeah, so it works for most, would you say?
Correct.
Now, when you use the high-intensity focused ultrasound on someone's brain, non-invasive, and they have a positive effect, but then it goes away, as you said, after a couple of months or whatever the time is, and you said you're going back to a different procedure, why not try that again? We know that it wouldn't work if you tried it a second time because it didn't work the first time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have had conversations like that. It really depends a lot on the patient, their experience, and what their MRI looks like. Because if the MRI does show that there's a lesion there, a little bit of a hole in the brain, doing the procedure again, you're kind of doing the same thing, even though you already have the lesion there, you already have the effect. And
okay.
As you increase the size of the lesion, it doesn't necessarily mean that you get better control. In fact, it can mean that you might develop side effects from the treatment instead. So that's a careful conversation that I have.
Okay, so years ago, when you say 50 years ago, this was actual brain surgery they'd cut open. But I thought you said that they removed a part of the brain. And when you say lesion, I'm picturing just like kind of like a something on the brain. Is that the same thing?
Right. Well, I mean, the concept of removing a part of the brain to affect its function, basically kind of the heart of functional neurosurgery, comes actually from stroke information, because surgeons and neurologists were seeing back then that if a patient had a stroke in a certain area of the brain, then certain effects happened. And if you actually just went in and removed it or artificially cut off blood flow to that part, then you could have similar effects. But it's a little bit of overkill, kind of using a bazooka when a scalpel will do to remove a whole entire part of the brain rather than just taking a little lesion the size of a grain of rice.
Yeah, and if I walked into the doctor and the doctor was holding a bazooka, I would be concerned.
That'd be a little terrifying.
That'd be a little terrifying, yes. Talking with Dr. Vanessa Milano, stereotactic and functional neurosurgeon at JFK University Medical Center. So can you give us an example of a patient that you've learned about or you've dealt with where the worst case scenario that the patient came in with and the best case scenario that they left with?
Yeah, so when patients come to me, they've already done a lot of work. They've gone through medications, sometimes multiple rounds, had side effects from those. They've done physical therapy. They've done occupational therapy. They've maybe tried wearable devices that are meant to help with essential tremor. They come in. They don't go out anymore with their friends or their family because they're embarrassed to use utensils in a restaurant. I've had patients, because in some patients, it's more than just the tremor in the arms or hands. You see some in the head or in the voice. Some patients have noticed that their work performance or the perception of them at work was worse because of their symptoms. I've had patients that worked in healthcare, and when they're interacting with patients themselves, they're asked constantly, like, oh, like, what's wrong? Like, are you okay? Mm-hmm. And if you hear that on a consistent basis, it can be very demoralizing and very upsetting. So those are the patients that after the procedure, when they come out, their tremor is already improved immediately. Some of them will just go right out to the nearest restaurant and take their new tremorless hand for a spin. And patient satisfaction is so high. I mean, it approaches the 90% range. There's really nothing quite like it in neurosurgery.
So they just can't wait to use a fork because it's going to be so much more enjoyable.
Exactly. And it's such a simple thing, but if you really think about it, and you think about what it's like to not be able to drink out of an open cup, that's one of the tests I run in the office. They can't bring a cup to their mouth without spilling all of it. They have to use like a little kitty sippy cup with a straw in it. There's so many things that they have to change about their everyday life. And it's not just a physical illness, it has profound psychological effects as well. So I'm really grateful that I'm able to improve these patients' lives, both on both fronts, the physical and psychological.
And you've been able to do it prior to 2020. It's just the recovery rate is takes longer. Did you have the same result? It was just more difficult and a longer recovery?
No, not necessarily longer recovery. It's more just the prevalence of the technology because these machines, they are MRI based. So a facility has to have an MRI machine that to spare, basically, that they're not using to scan patients, for their brain or their spine or other places in the body on a day-to-day basis. You have to have time to do the procedure in the magnet. And it's Not inexpensive. I'll put it that way.
But I mean, when you used to do it with a scalpel, you know, they're not leaving same day. But did you get the same result?
Oh. Right now, the main types of procedures I still do for essential tremor are deep brain stimulation, which is putting the electrode in the brain to stimulate the brain. I have done open lesioning, making a small hole in the skull the size of a dime, and putting a probe down into that part of the brain that we also treat with focused ultrasound, and then burning it. Mm-hmm. But I have not needed to do that procedure for quite a while now. And then the other procedure that I do is gamma knife radiosurgery, which functions in the same way as focused ultrasound in that it makes a lesion and it's non-invasive, but the effects can take on average 4 to 5 months to really manifest themselves. So you have to tell a patient, you've got to be patient. It'll come, but it's going to take some time, whereas focused ultrasound is like immediate gratification.
Yeah, the new stuff is right away. Now, are there, before we get into the side effects, what about with is this something you would use for the elderly? Because I have people in my family who are up there in age, and you know, when they're handing you a teacup, they're shaking. Is this something, because it's so non-invasive, that somebody who's in their mid-80s could go in for that?
Well, it's the patients that have been evaluated by movement disorders neurologists and have been diagnosed with essential tremor that are the ones that benefit from the procedure. Physiologic tremor that happens to worsen with age, those aren't patients that we're subjecting to unnecessary procedures, I would say. But
okay.
The oldest patient that I've treated with focused ultrasound is 87. So older patients do tolerate it quite well. Again, I always tell people age is just a number. It really comes down to you as a person and how you are handling life and your medical problems and what are your goals too.
So it is different, you know, it is different than just the aging tremors than the diagnosed tremors that we're speaking of.
There is a lot of overlap. There are patients I've had come in, as I always ask them, is there anyone else in your family that has tremor? And they'll think for a second and say, well, you know, my grandmother, I remember when I was a child, she had a really bad tremor, but we always thought it was just, that was just something that happened when you got older.
Right.
But, you know, we're finding that a lot of these tremors that we think are associated with or due to just getting older is actually essential tremor and can be treated.
Even though it didn't start until they were maybe in their, I don't know, 70s, and then it just progressively got worse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had patients have their tremor start in their 30s or 20s. And I've had patients that have their tremors start in their 70s. So it's a real mixed bag.
Okay. So for anyone listening who has elderly and has those tremors, where they shake, as they would call it, you know, when they, like you said, drink a glass of water or something like that, it's worth getting checked out?
I think so.
For this procedure?
If it's affecting your life, if it's affecting your life, it's limiting the things that you do, either consciously or subconsciously, I think it's worth addressing with your doctor.
And again, we're talking about high-intensity focused ultrasound or focused ultrasound. And in this case, we're using it when it comes to neurosurgery. So let's get to the side effects, if any. Side effects, that someone comes in, they leave same day, you use the focused ultrasound on their brain and their tremors go away rather quickly, as you mentioned. Are there other side effects that someone should know about?
Yes. So the side effects, and I just want to be clear, because you are awake during the whole procedure, we're able to monitor both how well your tremor is responding and whether you're developing side effects. So the potential side effects, the main ones are unsteady gait or unsteady walking, kind of a tingling or numb sensation on the side that's being treated in the arm typically, or even the face.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there can be an effect on speech. The speech might be a little bit more slurred. But then there's things that are a little bit less common, like funny taste in your mouth or tasting things in a different way, but that's less common.
Are all these usually permanent?
No, actually. So the unsteady gait tends to be the most common alongside the kind of pins and needles sensation. And I usually tell people, up to 1 out of 5 will have this side effect. But very few of those will actually have it permanently. So we're talking of those people, maybe 5 to 10% of them will have a permanent side effect.
And you said the tingling kind of goes along with the unsteady gait?
They typically occur in equal frequencies.
I see. You're just as likely to get one or the other. And how often is that? Is there a percentage?
I said up to 1 in 5 patients.
Okay.
But most of those patients will improve. So very few of them actually have those problems permanently. And like I said, we're able to monitor during the procedure. So if I go in and I have you do your spiral and you tell me, hey, something feels a little tingly or numb over here, or something doesn't feel quite right, look at your spiral and see, are we happy with it? And if we're happy with it, that's the end of the procedure. You can only, sometimes you have to know, when, better is the enemy of good.
When better is the enemy of good, meaning
right,
stick
right.
with what you have, don't.
Yeah, exactly. So because if your tremor
quit while you're ahead
is much better. Exactly. If it's much better and you are starting to have those side effects, I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze to continue going and trying to get ever more perfect tremor control at the expense of potentially having some of these side effects get mm-hmm. worse or be permanent. So.
Now, the slurred speech, is that something that I would think that would be something that usually goes away most of the time, if not all the time?
It does typically go away.
Yeah.
Most of these side effects will go away over time.
Because that would be the worst one, right? If you have a little tingling, even if you have it for the rest of your life, a little tingling, you can deal with that. But then when you have the unsteady mm-hmm. gait, if there's danger of you toppling over, or the speech, which obviously nobody wants to have slurred speech, that could be a little more severe.
Unsteady gait that really gets people, and it's something that I test patients for in the office, because very commonly unsteady gait or ataxia can coexist with essential tremor, and it can be really difficult to distinguish them apart. And if someone already has unsteady gait, like if I have you do the drunk driving test in the office and you can't walk heel to toe, you're all over the place,
mm-hmm.
this is not a procedure I would recommend for you, because it's a risk of making that already unstable gait worse. And I'm not sure it's worth it to a patient to have a really good control over their tremor, but basically need a wheelchair because they can't walk in a steady way anymore.
Right. So you're saying that sometimes that they have this procedure, again, which is an outpatient procedure, you're out the same day, it's non-invasive, to get rid of a tremor in their hands, perhaps, and then they leave having a difficulty walking? Is that worst-case scenario, or am I overstating it?
No, that's absolutely right.
Okay.
And that walking difficulty may stay difficult, or it could get better over time. But what the point is that if you already have difficulty walking, I would recommend one of the other forms of treatment rather than focused ultrasound, because
right.
at the end of the day, this is something, it's a hole in the brain. It is not reversible.
All right, doctor. Thank you. Dr. Vanessa Milano, stereotactic and functional neurosurgeon at JFK University Medical Center. Thanks so much again for taking the time.
Oh, thank you for having me.
If you'd like more info, you can go to jfkmc.org. For a podcast of this show, go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com. And this is JFK Spotlight on Health. I'm Joel Katz, and it's brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. We'll talk to you next week.